It's almost Friday, the 7th of October, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. The temperatures are starting to drop, but what's not dropping are the ratings on this program, people seeking the truth all over the place, and we thank you for sharing it everywhere that you can. Yesterday, we spoke with the Trump administration's Peter Navarro about the Arizona audits and how he would like to see audits like that one pursued all around the country. And in several states, that's already happening. Now, Vernon Jones has been here before. He's a former Democrat who switched parties and endorsed President Trump. Now he's making a primary challenge to Governor Brian Kemp. So far, he hasn't picked up President Trump's endorsement, but he says he's not bothered by that because the real endorsement that he says he's after is from the people of Georgia. There's obviously several commitments that Vernon Jones can make to increase the likelihood of the people's endorsement. And he's asked to come back. We're always happy to have him because we love having these discussions. Vernon Jones joins us now. Thank you, Vernon, for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So you spoke in Georgia ahead of President Trump. I've seen you on Telegram. You're running around. Your boots on the ground. You're making promises. How is your message being received as you travel the state of Georgia?
Well, in the base, the Republican base, my message has been well received, primarily because they know that they are not feeling that there was a free, fair, and transparent election in 2020 and 2021, the runoff. And they just want questions answered. They just want the truth. This is reasonable. This is not unreasonable. And so my ongoing fight to keep the pressure on the governor, including during this special session, to call for an audit in all 159 counties is not going to stop. I'm going to continue to do so.
Is there any progress in that regard? Are you seeing any headway there and actually getting something to happen before 2022 in the way of a full forensic audit of Georgia?
Not from the governor, but you're seeing from another organization who's pushing through the courts right now to do an audit in Fulton County. You're seeing that go through. The governor is stonewalling because he's afraid of the results. But because of that, it doesn't mean that we should back down because he is afraid to come out with the audit or push for the audit. So we're going to just continue to have the pressure there. Now, if he doesn't do it, there's going to be an election in 2022. It's going to be a referendum on him. And people will remember that he did not want to call for that audit and he'll pay for it at the ballot box.
Do you agree that before 2022, though, 2020 needs to be fixed? Because, I mean, how can you get elected if they're cheating, if they're using the same methods, if they're using the same internet connected machines?
Well, if a lot of those Republicans who stayed home the last time out of frustration, and I understand that, if they come out and vote in force, no matter what they try to do, we can overcome that. We can win this election. Now, as it relates to the governor replacing Dominion, he's not going to do it. As it relates to the governor going in, doing a full forensic audit, you see where he is now. And so that's not likely to happen. That's why I made clear, I sent a letter not only to the legislature asking them to amend the current statute into 2022, this 2021 a special session, to amend the statute to preserve those records, those ballot records through 2024. I also sent a letter to all of the county registrars across the state asking them to do the same thing because law says that they can keep them through 2021. But I wanted them to preserve it through 2022 because I want to do an audit to still get to the bottom of what happened. And we are going to do it.
All right. So let's talk about what people are voting for. And I want to revisit something from our last talk. You know what you're getting into when you come on this program and you're tough. You can handle it. So in 2019, you bragged that you might end up Speaker of the Georgia House if Republicans passed an anti-abortion heartbeat law. You know where I stand on this. You said because the backlash would cause Democrats to win back the state house. Now you say you voted against that bill because it didn't go far enough, even though it massively expanded protections for the unborn, even though it caused a huge meltdown in Hollywood, even though it banned most abortions after just 6 weeks. So was the problem really with the bill? I mean, why didn't you propose any amendments at the time to make it more conservative? Or is it something else?
Well, I've been in this business a long time, and I know the games, I know the back doors, and I know the tricks. The governor was pandering. His heart was not in the heartbeat bill. It didn't go far enough. I was just rubbing it in their faces. Life starts at conception, not at 6 weeks. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. As far as amending the bills, the way that the Republicans have it now, you can't amend a bill on the floor. It's almost impossible. They did that when they took over. And so they were disingenuous to talk about wanting full and open debate. No, you can't even amend a bill, Harley, on the floor now. It's too many complications, too many ways to keep from doing it. So with that being said, I stand where I am. I am pro-life. The bill didn't go far enough. Brian Kemp's heart was not in the heartbeat bill. You know and I know it. Why didn't he start from day one?
Well, that I believe.
You're pregnant. You can't be halfway pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that I believe, that Kemp's heart was not in the heartbeat bill. But I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you. And I just want to make sure that you didn't change positions. You know, right. But I just want to make sure that you're not changing positions just to boost the career that you acknowledge you've been in a long time. You know all the tricks. You know all, you know, this talk, slick talk stuff. I don't want to do that. We're here to just talk about what's really concerning to Georgia voters and know where you stand on this.
Well, and I'm not here to get you to tell me where I stand. I'm telling you where I stand, whether you disagree with
me. I'm telling you where you stand.
Or agree with them or not.
I don't want to argue with you. I just want to say the facts.
So, and the facts are what I said. The bill didn't go far enough. I'll say it again. Life starts at conception, not at 6 weeks. Now, what do you think? Does it start at 6 weeks or does it start at conception?
No, at conception. Absolutely.
What did the bill say? Did the bill say 6 weeks or did the bill say conception?
6 weeks.
Okay, there you have it then. Then Brian was pandering to the base and he really didn't believe it. Again, his heart wasn't in the heartbeat bill.
But yours is.
Clearly it is. Life starts at conception.
Okay, so you're committing that if you are elected governor, that you will ban abortions from conception.
I'm committing that when I become governor, we will put forth legislation that will have in there that life starts at conception and abortions will be banned, period.
But why not just do it by executive order?
You can't do that by executive order. I'm sorry. Some things you just can't do by executive order. But wait a minute. Why do I want to do it by executive order? Why not bring it through the House of Representatives and the Senate so we can flush out those rhinos, so we can see who really supports life starting at conception?
There are so many rhinos in Georgia.
Well, if you do an executive order, you give them a chance to hide behind the executive order. They never show their hand. They never raise their hand. Let's let them raise their hand. I raise my hand, whether you disagree with the way I voted or not. At least I was on record. So let's put them on record. See, that's the problem. Brian is a rhino. If Brian really felt that life started with conception, he would have had that in his legislation that his floor leader brought to the floor.
Would you agree that status quo politics just has gotten us nowhere? It's taken us backwards?
Well, I think that not only status quo politics, status quo people, status quo pundits on the news, status quo political junkies, all of them are like that. Everybody's like that.
Not here.
Oh, well, you say that, but some think you are.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know who those people are, if you'd like to name them.
Well,
I mean, we can address that, but.
Well, you must not be living then.
We are.
You get your feedback on social media. You get your feedback on social media. You must not be living if you think everybody agrees with you.
No, I don't expect everybody to agree with
me.
But
this is not about you. Let's get back to the issue.
Right. So last time we had you here, we pressed you also about critical race theory. We wanted you to promise that day one, you'd be banning that crap in your state. Out of the schools, get it out of government, out of everything. Now, you told us some stuff about putting that bill before a legislature, then also for them to approve. So, again, to me, not the best answer. But it got me thinking, could there be a reason that Vernon Jones is not fully committed to destroying critical race theory?
Well, hold on. Now you said I'm not committed. Now, you have to make up your mind. Now, when did I say I wasn't committed? And when did you decide that I'm not committed?
Well, it would make sense because
CRT
has defined your own career, hasn't it?
You're pandering and you're playing to your audience because she wants your ratings to go up.
No, I'm telling the truth.
Let's get right to the point.
Do you want to get right to the point?
You talked about your ratings going up in the beginning.
Okay.
So let's get to the point of this.
Let's get to the point.
I disagree with critical race theory.
Listen, I don't want to mute you. I don't do that. I don't want to mute you.
But sure you're doing that.
No.
But you are doing it.
I'm not going to
realize you're doing it, but
you're not
going to
come here and filibuster me, Vernon.
I'm not filibustering.
I'm here to ask
the question.
Okay, go ahead. Answer the question. CRT has designed. It's defined your career, hasn't it?
So I'll go back and answer the question. I'm opposed to critical race theory. It teaches racism. When I become governor, I will have legislation introduced to ban the critical race theory from being taught in schools, not punt it to the state school board like the governor did, so they can urge these various school systems not to do it, but to put forth legislation so it's banned by law. Now, you know, and I know it, the American people know it, and Georgians know it, that the governor's executive branch. The governor cannot walk to the floor and introduce legislation. He doesn't have a vote on the floor. It has to be introduced through the body, either the House or the Senate. It normally comes as a part of his legislative agenda. So a part of my legislative agenda, I will have my floor leader to introduce legislation to ban the critical race theory in Georgia from being taught. And we're going to put those rhinos and everybody else, including Democrats, on the mark. Raise your hand, either you're for it or you're against it. And my job is to do all I can to get it passed, and I will, to ban it from in Georgia because it's not needed.
I have no faith in the legislature in Georgia. That legislature.
Well, how are you going to get it? Wait a minute. You can't pass a law unless it goes through the legislature, right?
You can use executive authority to ban specifically critical race theory in Georgia.
So I would say this to you then, because I don't know who you've been listening to, and obviously you don't know about Georgia's constitutional authority in terms of its governor's powers, and apparently you don't know about his executive powers, what he can and cannot do through executive order. So again, executive orders can always be overturned, changed by the next governor. But when it's banned by law, it's banned by law. The state statute is on the books. It's against the law. Now, if you believe that Georgia's governor, through executive order, can ban the critical race theory, then day one, and I want you to be right there beside me, I'll give you the pen after I sign the executive order to ban critical race theory from Georgia. Now, you'll know it, and I'll know it, because you're going to be right there next to me, and you said that the Georgia governor has the power through executive order to ban it. I will do it. Next question.
Well, I have a question about some things in your past.
No, next question. Let's talk about it. I'm sure the folks who contacted you want you to put it all out there. So let's do it.
Folks,
I'm
open book.
Let's do it. You ready?
Okay, sure. In 2004, you were sued for successfully attempting to create a darker administration to reflect the new DeKalb County. In the trial, the plaintiffs dug up an accidentally recorded conversation between Assistant County Manager Morris Williams and County HR Director Joe Stone. In that call, Stone said he was angry that the fire chief wanted to promote four white men to battalion chief. He complained that the group is, quote, too snow white. But then Stone says, quote, now he got to cut that out with Vernon. So if there was no racial discrimination going on in DeKalb County then, why would Stone have said that?
Well, first of all, you have to ask Stone that. You're welcome to go and ask him. You can go and ask Morris Williams that. As chief executive officer, I hired more white people than I did black people. As chief executive officer, everybody had an opportunity to have a job if they met the qualifications. Period. The end.
Okay. But former DeKalb County Parks Director Becky Kelly, you remember her, said that she was ordered to fire Marilyn Boyd Drew because she was black, you wouldn't accept a white candidate. Then you demoted Kelly, gave her job to Drew, and moved Kelly to a windowless office in a converted storage area. And according to another deputy in the Parks Department, Herbert Lowe, who's black, by the way, Drew then ordered him to, quote, dig up dirt on white employees and withhold important information from them so they'd screw up and seem incompetent and be fired or passed over. And speaking of firing, that's what you did to Lowe when he didn't go along with this. So if all those people were lying...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that's a fact that I did that to Lowe, or that is something that someone told you?
You were successfully sued.
No. Just answer that question. Did someone tell you
How
that
about I just defer
fired...
to this?
Wait a minute. So I see right now.
I'm reading.
You're being intellectually dishonest. So let me answer your question.
I'm reading circuit court orders, Vernon.
First of all, Becky Kelly case was thrown out by the courts, which means whatever she said was a lie. Secondly, Herb Lowe, the black guy you're talking about, his position was abolished because it was no longer needed, and it went through the board of commissioners. They voted on it, not me. And thirdly, that same Herb Lowe fella is right now, I believe, serving life in prison for killing his girlfriend, a black female executive for Coca-Cola, who was missing. When they went to his home, her home, he lied and said she wasn't there. They came back with an arrest warrant, or they came back with a search warrant, went in. The lady was in the house dead. She was shot in
the back. So you're saying that they're all lying.
He is convicted right now in jail. So what you just said is completely false. It's erroneous.
Oh,
it's
really?
Reckless. And that's why I just said, when you try to be holier than thou, that, oh, you're different from everybody else, No, you're not.
Okay.
You're here with a bunch of foolishness. Now, let's get to the next question, because I want to talk about the issue.
If they're
that
lying
really
and if I'm foolish, then why
Georgia?
The 11th Circuit
So let's
Court
talk
of Appeals...
about illegal immigration.
No.
Let's talk about
you're
the
not
audit.
Gonna, you're not going to avoid the let's real talk questions about, here. You're not going
well,
to avoid
well,
the real question. You're accusing
me. You don't
want to
talk about real issues and you want to talk about.
You're accusing them of lying.
Fake news,
and you're accusing
you
me of being
talk
foolish.
About Iran-
you're accusing them of lying and you're accusing me of being foolish. If there was shocking evidence of an overt and unabashed pattern of discrimination in your administration. Yes, absolutely he did. That's what bullies do. That's what bullies do. They gaslight, shout you down, lie incessantly, avoid the light of truth from being shined on their dark corruption. And he didn't want me to get to the facts. He knew what was coming, so I had to mute him and he bailed. And if all of those people, his victims, were lying, then why did U.S. District Court Judge Bill Duffy say that the case against him was so clear-cut that if the jury had ruled in his favor, he would have thrown out the verdict? It was that clear that Vernon Jones was the, quote, architect. According to circuit court documents, Vernon Jones was the, quote, architect of anti-white racism. So if court rulings are anything to go by, we can now clearly say Vernon Jones doesn't care much for white men. But I will give him this. He does like white women, can't keep his hands off them, in fact. In 2005, a woman accused Vernon Jones of sexually assaulting her following a three-way sexual encounter with Vernon Jones and his girlfriend at the time. Now, DeKalb County DA Gwen Keys Fleming said the case was dropped. Why? Because the supposed victim didn't want the trauma of testifying against a powerful politician. What nobody denies is that there was a threesome. So, consensual or not, what's conservative about having threesomes with random girls? What exactly is Vernon Jones looking to conserve? Has he had a change of heart? Maybe he found Jesus. Or did he just switch parties because Republican women are more pretty while Democrats are putting obese hags on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition? People do change. People can find God. People can be saved. People change. But Vernon Jones hasn't changed, and any claim that he has is just another lie. Vernon Jones is upset that I didn't just dig up old Journal Constitution articles. I've done my own asking around prior to him asking to be back on this program. And I have been directly given two reports. And Vernon, there are Twitter DMs to support it. Two reports, along with those Twitter DMs, of Vernon Jones making very forward comments to two young conservative women at conservative events, and then trying to lure them into his hotel room in January of this year in D.C. and as recently as March of this year in Atlanta. Vernon Jones has not changed. Vernon Jones isn't trying to conserve anything. The only thing being conserved here is the Georgia State GOP, and I don't mean that in a positive way. Vernon Jones is a shiny ornament that they're using to distract people. Hey, check out this black ex-Democrat who's now amazingly become an America First MAGA guy. It's a big scam. Vernon Jones has mastered the art of projection, accusing others of everything that he is guilty of. For example, accusing Lynn Wood of being an un-American racist and unethical or corrupt. That's because Vernon Jones is un-American racist, unethical, and corrupt. The 11th Circuit Court ruled so. A U.S. District Court judge ruled so. That's Vernon Jones running around on Telegram with phony videos, hopping up on John Deere tractors, trying to appeal to white Christian voters of Georgia. But the truth is, he views you with nothing but contempt. And that's proven not only by his history, but by his current actions. When Vernon Jones was the CEO of DeKalb County, he used his power to specifically target white male employees, terminating them, sending them to the unemployment line, and replacing them with people of color. The courts found, once again, that he was the, quote, architect of a racially discriminatory scheme. Threesomes with random girls and the continued pursuit of them now, trying to lure them into hotel rooms. And he hasn't been elected to anything. What would Vernon Jones do with real power? That's a scary thought. Vernon Jones might think he's pulling the wool over the eyes of Georgians, but he's not. And he's certainly not going to do it here. I'm going to suggest that anybody who has publicly endorsed Vernon Jones now publicly retract those endorsements, even if they were paid for. And I would encourage Vernon Jones to end his campaign and bow out now. Personally, I'm going to do everything in my power to expose Vernon Jones, and I pray that his campaign is completely derailed. He is an anti-white parasite with a sex addiction who hates white men and abuses power to attract white women. It's disgusting, it's grotesque, and Vernon Jones is a disgrace. He is never welcome back on this show again. So you might have heard a couple days ago about this Facebook whistleblower. Her name is Frances Haugen. She testified to the Senate on Tuesday. She said some things that are obviously true and that we all agree with, that Facebook cares about profits over doing the right thing, that it doesn't care if its products are addictive or if they hurt children or if they destroy our society completely. But of course, since this woman is getting glowing coverage from CNN and the New York Times, you know it's not that simple. In short, this woman is an op. She's part of a coordinated effort with the press, with the Democrats, and with people inside of Facebook itself to make the company commit to more censorship. That's always what the left wants when they make claims about bias or something threatening democracy or free speech. To the left, democracy just means Chairman Biden getting his way, and free speech means the freedom to recite left-wing platitudes. But even more about this bogus whistleblower is coming to light. And for that, we're going to turn to Jason Fick. He's a free speech advocate making a legal challenge to Section 230, the law that big tech uses, by the way, as a shield to enable mass censorship online. Jason, thank you so much for coming. So it's clear to me that, or at least my prediction, is that Big Daddy government can now use this so-called whistleblower, who they planted, to create laws about censorship in an effort to combat real free speech platforms like Gab, for example, who they've been frustrated with. What say you?
So, yeah, it's you have to sort of step back and look at the whole situation. Obviously, the mainstream media only ever pushes anything that is within their agenda. We know what their agenda is. It leans hard left. So if that's the case, we sort of had to, I mean, that's what we did. We looked at it immediately and said, why are they pushing this whistleblower? I mean, I'm sure you know there are several other whistleblowers that have come out and have never gotten this kind of a press. So we looked at it and we said, okay, well, why are they doing it? Well, what does she say? And then you immediately look into what her interview said. And she said that they only act on any small percentage of content that is like hateful, damaging content, right? So the battle cry there, of course, is save the children. We need to do it for the children. Well, of course, 1940s Germany, that was a very similar battle cry. We always do it for the children. We give up our freedoms. The next thing that she says is, well, it's damaging our kids. And what's damaging our kids? Hate speech, which, of course, is a completely arbitrary term. Anything can be hate speech. And divisive political content and conspiracy theories, which led to the insurrection of January 6th, which automatically you sort of lose credibility with her because anybody calling January 6th an insurrection is just ridiculous. It wasn't an insurrection. BLM did far more than January 6th ever did. Now, if she's pushing that there should be more action, she's obviously looking for more censorship. And it's interesting because she transitions into talking about little young girls, you know, potentially killing themselves and suiciding on Instagram. That's usually image stuff. That's usually build bullying and so forth. And I get it. But when was the last time that you know of that divisive political content or conspiracy theories ever caused a girl to commit suicide?
Yeah, I mean,
it just doesn't make any logical sense. And then what happens? Oh, up shore, well, there she is right in front of Congress the next day. Now, everybody says, well, okay. And Facebook got hacked or they shut down and they're trying to delete all their information. Well, I think I can't prove this, but a more plausible reason why Facebook shut down the next day Well, they're calling for more censorship. It's clear that they probably manipulated this whole situation. And in order to install an algorithm that's basically the backbone of a system, well, they did it in 2020, right before the elections, and it went rolling servers. One server went down, and then the next server went down, and not everybody was out. This, they just decided, okay, shut it all down, install the new algorithm, reboot it, and put everybody back online. Makes more plausible sense to me that they're gearing up for 2022. And you're going to see, and it's funny because I have this conversation with a lot of people and a lot of influencers, and they don't want to act. They don't want to help me. And I tell them, you're next. Eventually, it's going to be you. They go after the smaller fish first, and the bigger they get, and the bigger. I mean, do you honestly think they're afraid of taking you down?
No, absolutely not. By the way, they've done it to me. As a matter of fact, if anybody goes over to Facebook and looks for the Stu Peter Show, the first thing you're going to get is a big warning about how we produce misinformation. Big, you know, asterisks and bells go off and everything. So I spend very little time there. And a lot of people, Jason, will say, well, I don't use the communist Zuckerberg Facebook thing anymore. I went away from Twitter. Well, look, if your safe haven is, say, Telegram, for example, Telegram is owned and operated by the Russian counterpart of Zuckerberg. I mean, that's not going to be around forever either. And if you think that they're not going to target every single social media platform, the problem with conservatives is that we're way behind the eight ball on technology, and we're way behind the eight ball on unity and coming up with a plan and sticking to it and all of us being involved. We're so spread out, so thin. We're all over the place. Everybody's got their own idea, but really it's never implemented. I think that Gab is probably the closest thing that you can get to an impenetrable, you know, free speech platform. I love it there. I love that it's USA based. Andrew Torba is a God-loving Christian. All of those things align with me, so I'm going to stick that out, do whatever I can to help Gab, obviously, but they're going to target Andrew Torba and his platform as well if there's not something bigger done, which you're in the midst of trying to take care of in the Southern District of Florida.
You actually just hit on two very, very important points. A lot of people say, well, I don't even use Facebook, or I don't use, you know, Twitter, and I don't use them. Yes, but a lot of people do.
Right.
And the people that are not necessarily as smart as you and I. And they're not paying attention to the fact that they're lying to us, and they're using misinformation to essentially challenge real information. That's the concern.
They're doing the same thing with the mainstream media. So you've got a captive audience to indoctrinate and to brainwash. And that's what Twitter and Facebook have become, just like the Fox News channel is doing, just like CNN, MSNBC, all of the usual suspects, even Newsmax. That is what these large conglomerate news media so-called journalists are doing. They're anything but arbiters of truth. They are completing and implementing a psychological operation on an unsuspecting public that's busy as soccer moms putting food on the table and going to ballet recitals.
Absolutely. And see, that brings us to our second point, right? You said that, you know, they will come after Telegram. They will come after. That's what happened to Parler. And a lot of people are even unaware of what we're doing right now. And I sorry, there's a bit of a shameful plug, but the socialmediafreedom.org is our site. Again, socialmediafreedom.org. We are actually going after the root of the problem. And everybody says, well, it's big tech. No, the root of the problem is actually Congress. The law that they enacted is unconstitutional. Most people have no idea that Section 230 is in fact unconstitutional, or they believe it's under the First Amendment. Let me explain. If, like Parler, right? They regulate companies that are in the same kind of business as them, do they not? Parler is in the same business as Facebook, Google, Twitter, Apple, et cetera.
Seems like it on the surface.
Okay. Yeah. So in 1936, the Congress actually turned over what was called the Bitumen Coal Mining Act, right? And it had coal mining companies actually self-regulating, and the larger companies had more delegates, and the smaller company had less delegates. Well, guess what happened? The small guys started getting regulated out because they weren't, you know, the rules became, you know, arbitrary, right? Just like hate speech is arbitrary. Well, we found the case law. Listen to this. The Supreme Court held in Carter versus Carter Coal Mining that a private entity like big tech, quote, may not be entrusted with the power to regulate the business of another, and especially a competitor. Sound familiar? any statute which attempts to confer such power undertakes an intolerable and unconstitutional interference with personal liberty and private property. The delegation is so clearly arbitrary and a denial of due process. This is a Fifth Amendment issue. And in fact, because the Supreme Court decided not to hear my case and I was dismissed on every single level, I was actually hurt by the government. Section 230 directly hurt me, which means that I now have the standing to sue the government. And we are going to be doing that out of the Southern District of Florida. As a matter of fact, some of the general counsel around Governor DeSantis are speaking with him because Florida could become my ally. They can actually step in with us. Imagine that. Everybody in this nation, if Ron DeSantis wants to come and actually solve this problem, well, we go after the root of the problem, which is that Section 230 is unconstitutional under the Fifth Amendment. This is how we can stop it. But I can't do this alone. I mean, this has been all on me. And that's why I'm asking for people's help. Go to socialmediafreedom.com or socialmediafreedom.org. Help me out because I am legitimately like you, just like you, Stu. I'm out here fighting just like you for you. If we can stop this, we stop the whole problem. We don't leave them on the site being indoctrinated. We stop the sites from indoctrinating.
Well, and Governor DeSantis can help you in a major way as well. And I hope that he does. I know that he watches the program.
I hope we should have a conversation.
And we've been asking him also to help us out with election integrity, election corruption in Florida by demanding and implementing a full forensic audit in that state. He needs to do that. That needs to be done. Jason Fick, best of luck to you in the Southern District of Florida. We know that you'll be back to give us updates on this, and we'll be praying.
We're getting there.
God bless you.
Thank you, Stu. I appreciate it.
Well, it's the flu season. It's the fall. Everybody's going to get sick. That's what happens. People come down with things. We've been dealing with that since the beginning of time. But now we have to worry about, I don't know, weird chimerically engineered viruses, maybe leaked, maybe intentionally, out of, I don't know, an obscure lab in Wuhan, China, for example. I don't know what makes me say that. Just a theory. Also, shedding and transmission, these things, people who have had shots, so many reports of people just being around somebody who's been inoculated with this mystery substance, feeling ill. Weird menstrual cycles, headaches, hangover type stuff. We don't know what's being transmitted or shed, if anything, if it's the spike protein, if it's little mini organisms crawling from one person to another. Gross. Dr. Zev Zelenko has the COVID killer. I trust this guy because he was preaching early treatment protocol while Andrew Cuomo was committing a little mini genocide in New York. Thousands of people died because Andrew Cuomo refused to allow Zev Zelenko to do his work. But despite all of that, Zev Zelenko saved 99.9% of his high-risk COVID patients using what he calls the COVID killer. This is the Z-Stack. You can find it at zstackprotocol.com. You can go to the drugstore on your own, put these things together. You may not be able to find all of these things in one location, so you might have to do some running around. That's fine. Then you have to figure out the dosing and all of that. But he's got a one-pill substance that has all of it in there. Proper dosing. You just pop these things twice a day, and he calls it the COVID killer. I trust him. Check it out for yourself. Do your own research. Go to zstackprotocol.com right now. Here's my PSA for them. Go to zstackprotocol.com. We go all in on this show. We never hold back. We give everybody an opportunity to speak, especially when they've been right so many times in the past. Cyrus Parsa is the founder and CEO of the AI organization. Now, he says that he has some information that can, quote, shake the globe, and he wants to reveal it right here on this program. We take that very seriously. Now, we tried to get Cyrus to tell us exactly what it was that he was going to say in advance, couldn't get it from him. So this will be as new to us as it is to you, but Cyrus has made some predictions in the past that have all come to fruition. For example, back in the summer of 2019, Cyrus gave a document to a President Trump contact warning that the world was in danger from an invisible bioweapon from China. He said it was meant to either kill Trump personally or at very minimum knock him out of office. He says that China is at the heart of a plan to dominate the world through bioweapons, artificial intelligence, and even transhumanism. He says that this plan involves the Rockefeller family, George Soros, and Bill Gates. Believable enough, they're involved with literally everything. But what is Cyrus going to warn us about today? Well, for that, we need to actually ask him directly as Cyrus Parsa joins us now. Thank you for being here. All right, lay it on us. You've got serious information, ground-shaking revelations that are going to, quote, shake the globe.
Yes, Stu. Hello to your audience. This is very, very big. So I'm going to give you a small chronology of events to so you can lead up to it, so you can understand how it unfolded and what we were doing behind the scenes.
Please.
So initially, I gave the Secret Service in June 2019 a report, World's in Danger, Bioweapons, and that people, the world will be enslaved with AI and different things. Just what's happening today, right? And it's meant to hit President Trump. Within 6 months to a year, within 2 years, everyone's a slave. It happened just like I said. Within 2 weeks after that, I gave the former director of CIA Covert Ops a 62-page report, World's in Danger, AI, bioweapons, transhumanism, at China, CCP, and I put in there the Rockefellers. I put under George Soros, even Biden information. He took it to the military. He said it was the most genius document he's ever seen in 40 years. Then I published AI Trump China and a weaponization robotics of 5G on August 24th. Synopsis of the first sentence said, world's people in danger, China, big tech, AI, MBT, bioweapons, and then the whole bioengineering, great reset. Then on October 28th, I released Artificial Intelligence, Dangerous to Humanity. Not only did I say the world's people are in danger, but on page 253, I said that it's meant, an invisible weapon, poisonous, meant to hit President Trump, to hit the conservative side, to knock him out, and for the left to take over, and for China to dominate the world with artificial intelligence and transhumanism as they manipulate the big tech elites and so on. And it was imminent. And there's a lot of things I said, mixing humans and animals, chimeras, and making viruses that replicate and mutate, and people would get bioengineered and so on. Then on December 16th, I filed the World's Endangering People's Lawsuit, China, big tech, AI, bioweapons. I left out the John Doe's. That reached 150 countries. On February 26, 2020, I ran again, the World's Endangering People's AI bioweapon, nanotechnology, world enslavement, Nuremberg genocide lawsuit, federal lawsuit, naming the Rockefellers, Bill Gates, and George Soros, even the Bidens, and so many other people, and a bunch of conservatives, elites that didn't include in the list, but they're in the unlimited. And I even put creating artificial life, and that has to do with bioengineering, nanotechnology, right? That got to 210 countries, and over 2 billion people viewed the document. Then when we were getting the lockdown, it was a little too late for people to believe what I was saying. So I created, I actually did a screenplay, and I created a movie called AI, The Plan to Invade Humanity. I tweeted to President Trump and the Pentagon, this is about aliens, crafts landing here, and stating that we got our DARPA and our bioengineering stuff from them and our nanotech. And that there was a bioweapon coming and mandated vaccines. Within 3 days, the Pentagon released it for the first time in human history. There are files on UFOs. Now, for your audiences, they're Christian. You can look at these aliens, UFOs, as the Book of Enoch and different things as demons or fallen angels. Now, let me continue. And about 2 months later, I put out coronavirus, UFO, alien, AI, CV, master plan theory, Cyrus Parson. Within 3 days later, I put up the tweet, subpoena this, which got 400,000 views from my channel alone on Twitter, and hundreds of millions around the world, got copied everywhere. Basically, a request of President Trump to declassify by using BAR, the China CCP sex tapes, relating to $1.5 billion. People were like, what's Cyrus talking about, $1.5 billion? It had to do with Hunter Biden. See, within 2 months, those videos came out. On October 14, 2020, I put out CCP Virusgate, and I mentioned that nanotech is coming. I connected Bill Gates and enslavement, and that bioweapon was meant to hit President Trump and knock him out of office. So once I realized Trump is being kicked out of office and got outmaneuvered, on December 8th, I drew a tweet to President Trump And I called the deep state AI UFO alien declass agenda. I requested him to declassify our UFO files. Within 2 weeks, he put that in the order. And in there, I put, if I was an alien, I'd want Joe Biden to be president and everyone to be prodded with nanotechnology. See, it was code of language. I didn't use the word vaccines. And then enslave everybody, connecting satellites, smart cities, da da da. All the stuff is in my movie, AI, The Plan to Invade Humanity. So now, why do I all bring all this stuff up? I mentioned demons, right? Because the left uses the word aliens and UFOs. And I researched in the early 2000s, a lot of places. And I went to the Book of Enoch. I went to the Book of Genesis, the Bible. And I talked about these beings and spacecrafts. And they actually mixed humans and animals. And then the world was extincted. The Sumerians, same. The Persians or Zoroastrian, same. I'm like, let me go to the East. I went to China and I saw the Falun Dafa founder. He had an interview with Time Magazine, 1999. He said that in the future, that when people start cloning, God will not give them a soul and these aliens will download themselves through technology. I'm like, how is that possible? So I started researching more. And the year prior, which got me into this, I sat down with a very, very high ranking official that even generals and admirals don't have access to. And he invited me, he wanted to ask me my opinion, my advisory, why these aliens looked the way they did. Because he had an observatory for 30 years and he gave our Pentagon, our special forces and our military, a technology that he got from taking all these photographs and detecting these aliens in order to allow our crafts to basically not use fuel, but go past almost the speed of light. So he was developing this for a Pentagon and he showed me all these different images and one of them looked like a ghost. And this matched exactly what the founder of the Falun Dafa, Li Hongzhi, said in this Time interview. I'm like, how would he know what this guy had that he gave to the highest ranking in the military in a division within the Pentagon? So when I released my AI, The Plan to Evade Humanity movie, within a month, they said, yeah, we've had crafts land here. So let me explain this to you guys, how it relates to vaccines. DARPA, according to my movie and the research I did and the people that I've talked to in the Pentagon, that came from the technology that we got from these crafts. Even our smartphones and all the technology that were spawned that are right now kind of within chain reactions, seeing within our big tech, came from them, even nanotechnology. So let me explain this to you. The nanotechnology is not a human invention. It's spawned from these experiments that go back from these crafts and these aliens that they caught in these crafts. And last year when they said, yeah, we caught this craft, they never told you if there was an alien inside. And when they asked the Pentagon, is there alien? They didn't respond. Do you see? Because they're afraid that everyone's going to get scared. And if you're a Christian or somebody else, you say, well, it can't be. Well, God created trillions of universes. Look at them as demons, because it says that in your faith and on all the other faiths as well. So this nanotechnology is a soft, long-term extinction agenda, because when they create this organism, it connects to your smartphone. And when they put up the satellites, it's a surveillance thing. So they can use Google and Facebook and all, even our Pentagon and our military. Do you realize it's kind of weird that everyone's acting kind of crazy and everyone who is not vaccinated is being pushed out, even the military? So once all of the military is vaccinated and the people who are not vaccinated get kicked out, the military can be used against the world's people. I've been right about everything. I outperform everybody, all the world's governments, even Google and the big techs, and all of Trump's generals and admirals.
Google and big tech are not the arbiters of truth, that we know.
I outperformed everybody in my warnings. I've been right on point. I did a tweet last week. Pastor Dave attested that last year I used my technology from 3,000 miles away. I made a phone call and said President Trump has been hit by the bioweapon. Within 5 days of that, he said, boom. And 3 days before
he said
that,
what? He said what? Boom. He said what?
He did a tweet saying, me and Melania have been hit by the COVID. And also on page 253 of my book says he will get hit by the bioweapon. And I said in my Secret Service saying it's meant to take him out of office. You got to do these steps. So how could I outperform the CIA, the FBI, and even the military on the timing? So I developed a certain technology. I won't discuss how it works because the Pentagon doesn't have it and neither does Google. So that's that. So let me explain this to you, this thing.
Very quickly. I got to know
Let me explain what they were working on. This vaccine, it doesn't have full-on nanoparticles and nanotech. It has elements of nanoparticles inside of it, but those, if they form at the molecular level to the actual organism they created, it can replicate inside of you in a long-term way, and you won't know it's inside of you. And it'll start actually taking over your brain. So it's actually an operating system. So you have a soul that was given to you by God. You're an image of God. And your cells are made in the image of God. So if these little nanoparticles start replicating inside of you, they will replace the images inside of you from God. And eventually your soul cannot connect to your body anymore. It will leave and something else would enter. It's like you can say you'd be possessed or your consciousness gets replaced.
I just want to remind everybody that Dr. Carrie Madej was on the program. She released some images that she found underneath the slides. It was something on the slide that was apparently self-aware. But she also made reference to big, bright, vibrant colors, yellows, pinks, and purples that showed up. And her words were that this was indicative of some sort of injectable computing system. So I don't know if that's connected to what it is that you're saying, but
exactly what I've been putting out everywhere for a couple of years. It's she and others actually watch my movie and different stuff. So my information has gone everywhere. But this stuff is not new. In 2006 and 2007, there is videos of this that are top secret because the Pentagon developed the stuff. So the next doses that are coming, remember on the last show, the one before that, I said this like 3 months ago, I said there's going to be another dose, then another dose, and the vaccine is not going to work. It's going to have breakthrough. I was right.
Shot number three, right? Booster number one is out already. They're working on booster number two, so which is shot number four. But I've already blown through a network break. I really got to go. You got
to
drop this.
Let me explain to you the bigger thing I was going to say, which is going to shock her. Do you wonder why they're going he, she, it, and him, and there's no mother and father? Because the transhumanism and transgenderism are a UFO alien agenda plan. And what they did was they landed a craft here 50, 60 years ago, knowing that within 50 or 60 years, it will cause a chain reaction. And there was a few of them here. There's a few of them in our military. They look human, but they're not. There's a few of them in our big tech. There's a few of them in our CIA and our FBI. And they influence people. And there are also in our media. So this is what their plan is, that in about the next generation, when you don't recognize a mother and father as no he or she, and then they introduce aliens like, oh, it's diversity. And then you accept them and they extinct humanity because you're no longer human beings. You join them or they replace your soul because they have clones and injected nanotechnology. This all comes from my screenplay, but also my investigations and my movie that came out. We have Pentagon files that were given to the Pentagon. They didn't belong to the Pentagon. But I detect the movements of these aliens with my machines that I created. You see? So this transgenderism has to do with aliens because when your kids grow up and they can't tell if they're a guy or a girl, and then they by engineer people, mix human with animals, society will accept that under diversity. And then when they download themselves or they show up here with their crafts because they're in a different dimension, you ask, why would it take 60 years? It's because when they come here with their quantum machines, it takes them literally one day in their time. And then when they go back, 50 to 60 years goes by in our dimension. And this is still in our universe. They're not in heaven, by the way. So you don't believe it? Look at artifacts around the world. Watch my movie, AI, the Planet of Humanity. I've done 20 years of investigation. So I'm telling you, this is a slow extension, and they're actually extinction of humanity. And they are actually fooling and manipulating our Google guys. Elon Musk, you look at him, he is actually frequency controlled. All this, when they build the satellite system, they will enslave humanity with Google and other places. Everywhere you go, there's an app tracking you. So I'm telling you, left and liberals and conservatives have been used against each other by an alien agenda that's not even human. And people don't even realize it. And getting each other to fight each other so there's some kind of war or famines or instability, and they can take control. And that's why the military is being injected, because all the people will be tagged as resistant to AI who have faith. I put an article and video out last year that AI will tag people of faith as resistant to AI, because in your brain, there's actually a structure that's built by God that's resistant to this beast system or demon system, as you call it, or Satan or these aliens. And they know that the ones that are harder to control or the one that will believe in God. The ones who are atheists or scientists are so easily to assimilate and control. So these scientists at Google and even Bill Gates, they've all been manipulated. It is a depopulation agenda, but he's being manipulated. And it's done by proximity sensors that are on your smartphones that actually alter your brain chemistry you're watching. So even a lot of the media have been manipulated not to even report on me and bring my lawsuit and my movies and my articles and everything I got right up, because they're being manipulated, because the entire humanity's being driven to this beast system, because in 20 or 30 years time, they'll be extincted. And you ask, why would God allow this? Why did God allow it in the previous civilizations? You have free will here. I have solutions for this, but there's a lot. Go to my website, theaiorganization.com, watch the movie, follow me on Gab, Twitter, Gitter, Cyrus A. Parcel 1. Get this book, because I coded it in there, and it shows you on page 53, Trump will get hit by the virus.
If you don't believe him, do the research yourself. I know you to be a genius, because you're extremely difficult to communicate with. That's why other people call you crazy.
I am a freaking genius. I outperform.
That's why other people call you crazy. It's because they want to try to discredit you. I would never do that on this platform.
I'm trying to save your life.
I understand.
Think about it.
I understand.
Why did I run the lawsuit, Stu? I was trying to save your life. How many people hit it? How many people had to wear a mask because my lawsuit and my books were hidden from the media? How many trillions of dollars were lost? How many people are being forced jabbed because I wasn't given credit and people were hiding my story? There is a demonic force trying to hide my story. So you have freaking courage. You have balls the size of this universe to have me on, because what I put out is always accurate and people are so afraid.
Go do the research on your own. Cyrus Parsa, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I would also encourage you to do some research at vaccine-police.com. Go there. Take a look. Take a look at what Christopher Key is doing. I have given money and supported the vaccine police. I'm here today telling you that I am so happy that I did and will continue to support the vaccine police. This guy's boots on the ground. Real action. Fighting this tyranny face-to-face. He's putting up billboards. Spending my donation money putting up billboards, and yours too if you have donated, putting up billboards bringing awareness to the dangers of these vaccines, these shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. He's confronting pharmacists, serving Nuremberg notifications upon hospital administrators, getting in the face of big pharma executives, CEOs. This guy's out there doing the work and fighting. If you're going to give to something or someone, I'd encourage you to take a look at vaccine-police.com. Use your own judgment, pray about it, use your discernment, and then decide if you feel comfortable with it. I give, feel comfortable with it, and I'm telling you that I'm going to continue to support them. Do it, do the research on your own. Go to vaccine-police.com. I want to go back to that Vernon Jones interview from the beginning of the show. There was audio that was not captured. I muted Vernon Jones from my end when he was trying to gaslight you and filibuster me and continue to lie. The mute was never taken off. And there is a full one-sided conversation between Vernon and I available at stupeters.tv from before he ran off, if you want to try to read his lips. He accused me of being racist because I told him that he was talking jive talk. Is jive talk racist? According to the definition, to say foolish or deceptive or unserious things. That's what jive talk is. And that is what Vernon Jones is absolutely guilty of. The GOP cannot say that they have plausible deniability. They know who Vernon Jones is. They have propped this guy up for you. They have given him all of their talking points, and they're going to ram him down your throat. Vernon Jones is corrupt. Period. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!